today on Anchored in the Word.
But we know that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked will be judged. And that's just reality. And so we know that God is not dancing in the streets. That's not what he would do. That's not what Jesus would do. God's hope for any man, whoever they are, whatever they've done, is that they would turn from their ways and have life.
But I'm anchored deep in your great love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman. Many people joke that they don't want to come to church because lightning will strike or the place will burn down. Pastor Bill reminds us that although God is a just God, he's also loving. He sent his son to die for us because he loves us so much. His justice will come, but first and foremost, he wants us to come to him in love. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. Now here's Pastor Bill with today's edition of Anchored in the Word.
Again, a lot of death in this chapter, but this death is like what we call natural death, if there is such a thing. I mean, in the sense of death, it wasn't part of the original creation, but the idea is these people died of, quote, natural causes, the kings and such. But our prophet Elisha goes to be with the Lord in this chapter and gets his heavenly reward in this chapter, so that's a good thing. We see some different kings, and I'm going to tell you something about this chapter of Kings. I had such a hard time figuring out, you know, where we're at in the book of Kings, right, where we've got a northern kingdom called Israel, 10 tribes there make the northern kingdom. Never had a good king of all the kings they had. All of them were wicked. Then we got the southern tribe, because Israel was split in half. Remember at that point, southern tribe, two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The idea is separated in half. There were some good kings in the southern kingdom, but get this. There are at least two kings that had the same name. We're going to see him tonight. And not only that, but the name changes. They're not sure of, and you'll see it in your Bible, you'll see a footnote where Jehoash is Johash, and you're like, you know, I'm going to tell you, and then the two of those guys had the same name in the northern and the southern kingdom, and I don't got a chart right in front of me. I'm looking at the chart, and I'm reading the Bible, and I'm thinking, this, you know, I'm just not getting it. I just can't seem to follow these guys the way that they should be. And I'm thinking, if I can't get it, like they say, if it's a little, how do they put it? If you're in a haze, they're going to be in a fog. I mean, I don't know what you think of when they start mentioning these kings' names. You're like, just get on to the thing, you know. But the idea is, I didn't feel so bad. I opened up J. Vernon McGee, and he said the same thing. I mean, about this chapter. You know, so I'm thinking, okay, it's not just me. You know, so if you're feeling that way, it's not just you, okay? So maybe that'll make you feel better. But what we're going to see, basically, as we look at these kings. And the sad thing is, and they go, the way of man, unfortunately, is that they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And that's seemingly the man left to himself. That's what he does. He does evil. You know, according to the Bible, man is evil. Now, I know that that's not a popular thing to say in the world, but man is evil. His heart is desperately wicked above all things, the Bible says. And who can know it? Only God knows the heart. On his own, left to his own devices, man is evil. And so God has been influencing the world since the beginning. And even with God's influence, man has chosen to go the evil path at times. And that's an amazing thing. And it's easy to look at the nation of Israel, and that's the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. That's what God has given us. That's the nation that God is using to show us man's tendencies and God's mercy. Because not only do we see how man behaves in the Bible, we also see how God behaves, if I can put it that way. the nature of God. And we're going to see some more of the nature of God here tonight in chapter 13. We're going to see the anger of God. Yeah, the anger of God was against Israel. And as a result of that, God did something about it. God delivered, if you want to use that term, well, that's what terms he says he delivered in the Bible. He delivered them over to the enemy. Not because he wanted, I'm going to wipe you out kind of a thing. It was because he knew that if he delivered them over to the enemy, that they would be humbled and again see their need for God. Because they got to a place in their lives that they somehow didn't see a need for God. They didn't see their need for him. The very nation, the apple of God's eye. The only nation that's ever been like that in all of existence. The nation of Israel. The only nation that's really been a theocracy run by God, governed by God at the beginning. And God is using and still using this nation, an unprecedented nation through all of history. He's using this nation to, and I love this, and I didn't coin this, but I love it. When you hear the name Israel, you think it points to God is real. And that's the picture that we look at as we see the nation of Israel. We see that they are just a bunch of people put together, chosen by God. But let's dig in verse 1 of chapter 13. As we look at these kings, as we look at this nation, and we look at our God, the God who created us. In the 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, that's the southern kingdom. See, they were keeping track of time. In other words, he's going to start off by saying the 23rd year of Joash, and we know that he's of the southern kingdom. But now they're going to say, they're going to talk about the northern kingdom. They're just kind of keeping time with that. The 23rd year of Joash, the son of Ahaziah, king of Judah. Now, he was the guy that became a king when he was 7. Remember last week we talked about him? That's him. And it says, Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel in Samaria. That's the northern kingdom. And he reigned 17 years. So Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, became king over Israel, the northern kingdom. And verse 2, like the rest of the kings in Israel, the northern kingdom that is, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He was the first king of the north, and he did not depart from them. So he didn't repent. You see, it's one thing to do evil, and to do what's evil in the sight of the Lord, and to follow after other sinners. But the idea here, and the key here is, he did not depart from them. You see, that's the thing about God. He's patient with us. He will give us time to depart from our sins, time to depart from our ways. And then eventually, there is judgment that comes. And in this case, God delivers this nation over. Many people died as a result in this. Whenever the nations got turned over, life got tough. Life got hard for the nation. But God does what he allows things in the life of the nation here to bring them back to him. Because he loves them so much, he's jealous for them. Now, when it says, and he followed the sins of Jeroboam, what were the sins of Jeroboam specifically? Well, he's the one that started the calf worship. He had the calves made, and he was following in those ways. And so the idea is, no matter what the actual god or goddess is, they've turned from the living God. And again, we see influence of leadership of a nation. Because the Lord says to pray for our leaders. No matter what you happen to think of the person that's in charge right now, you need to understand something about leaders, including these leaders that we're looking at here in the Bible. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. Turn to the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 13. Now, this is a passage that's encouraging, is commanding believers to submit to the government. They had a rough government. I mean, these guys didn't mess around. They took care of evil. They dealt with it. And you could judge how they dealt with it and all that. I mean, think about the idea of crucifixion. They used that, the Romans did, to deal with evil. And what a brutal way to die. I mean, and it's a slow death. And not only that, but it's a death where, you know, they put you on display. So that it can be a dissuader or to keep you from wanting to go that route. And not only were you killed, but you killed and you were, it was basically torture. And during that, there was a public humiliation that took place as well. All of it rolled into one. I can't think of a worse way to die than being crucified. You're naked up there for the most part. I mean, you know, we always see movies and Christ is covered with a thing at times, but there was a nakedness. I mean, you were before the public in that way, and that was the least of your problems. And you were beaten to most, a lot of the people didn't even make it past the beating that you received before that even happened. And then, of course, if you lived too long, they came along and they broke your legs because that would hasten death because, you know, you had basically were you know, you asphyxiate. You die because you can't breathe. You're pulling yourself up to get a breath. You're pushing off the wounds. I mean, it's a horrible way to die. The Romans came up with that. And you're thinking, you mean you're telling me that God somehow was behind this? Well, according to what it says here in Romans, God raises up the government. So if you think you have a tough time with him raising up certain governments that we're involved in, think about how the Jews were thinking in these times. But look what God says regarding the government. Verse 1 of chapter 13 of Romans. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Be subject to. Now that word means to put yourself under. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now think of the context of when this was written, what it was speaking to specifically, the Roman government. But does it pertain today? You bet. Does it go back to the kings? You bet. Does it go forward how much longer before Jesus Christ returns? You bet. It's the same God. He's saying that I have a part in this creation that I made. I'm intervening here. And he has a place for it. In the same way that we will see him allow a wicked army to come in and overcome the apple of his eye, there was a purpose that he had. And God always has a purpose for everything he does. Always. And we always have to look at, we may not understand God's purposes, but we have to understand something. When we come up with something we don't understand, we have to fall back on what we do understand. And that is that God, who this God is, his very nature. God isn't just loving, he is love. He's a God of love. He's a holy God, so he has to judge sin. But the idea is that we know that God is working all things together for good to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purposes. But look what it says about the authorities that God raises up. Therefore, verse 2, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. A word to rebels. A word to the rebellious, that resisting the ordinances that God has put in place, you're coming against God himself, and there will be a fruit for that. You know, you will reap what you sow, the Bible says. And so, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And then he says in verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. God's in control. And there will come a time, by the way, and the Bible talks about this. Happened in the book of Acts, even during the Roman government. If there comes a time when you have to choose between serving God and serving the government, the choice is already made. You're to serve God. There could be a time coming when you have to choose one. And I love what the guys there said in the early church. Should we obey God or man? You choose. I love that. What a word of wisdom. When it comes down to it, there could come a time when the two aren't going the same way, and it'll be clear for us. We'll know when we have to do it. We'll know. It'll be simple. They'll want us to renounce Christ as our Savior. They'll want us to do something that doesn't line up with his will. But I want you to know, Ezekiel 33:11. And I say our response to the government's actions. In this particular case, but in any case, this Ezekiel, it's going to give us God's heart in 33:11, Ezekiel 33:11. It's going to tell us about our God, how he sees things. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And he's talking specifically about the house of Israel. But we know that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the wicked will be judged. And that's just reality. And so we know that God is not dancing in the streets. That's not what he would do. That's not what Jesus would do. God's hope for any man, whoever they are, whatever they've done, is that they would turn from their ways and have life. The beauty about God's word is the hard things of life that happen, real things, you know, things that were written thousands of years ago, some, you know, pertain to what's happening to us today because it's the same God. And he knew that we would need his word to help us to figure out, God, what's happening? What's going on in the world? So he shows us. Those that choose to believe what the word says. And so this idea, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, back to verse 2 of chapter 13 of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 13. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. He did not depart from them. See, it's one thing for somebody to decide that they want to trash their own life and turn from God and rebel against God. He doesn't want that. But I want you to tell you something, that your sins and my sins, our sins, affect other people. And when you're in a place of leadership, even more so. And God takes that seriously. If you're leading good or you're leading evil, it will affect people. And so God will deal with it. But I want to tell you something. He's long-suffering. He is a long-suffering God, and I'm so glad he is. It says in verse 3, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. I mean, God got angry at his own people? Yeah, the anger of God was aroused. It's always a righteous anger. It's always righteous indignation. Now, this idea of he delivered, you can look in the Bible and you can see this, that God delivered armies onto other armies. And this is the thing about him. You know, we can get all caught up in our military might, our intelligence. You know, as much, that's a great word, isn't it? The intelligence, when I use that in the sense of our information. We can gather information. And believe me, there's probably a lot more gathering than you even realize. I mean, you know, being on the internet, you got your IP address and all that stuff. The government could probably knows everything about us, what's going on. I'm not paranoid by that because I'm not going to do anything wrong to be worried about it. Now, if you're doing things wrong, worry about it. Now, this is the interesting thing. I was looking this up, he delivers. I figured I'm going to look at this up, he delivers. And so I looked that word up, and I forget how many times it popped up. But here's the thing about it, and this, to me, speaks something. In the Old Testament, it was always speaking about mostly God delivering someone over to someone else. But in the New Testament, not once, it's mentioned four times in the New Testament. And you know when it's mentioned? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, each one time. And every time it was when Christ was delivered over to die. I thought that was interesting. Think about this for a second. Because even though, you know, it, in the context it was written, it was Pontius Pilate. He delivered Christ over to be crucified, right? Isn't that the way the story goes? Isn't that what happened? He was the government at that time, right? And he delivered Christ over, it said, four times in the New Testament. The only time he delivered was in the New Testament that way. And every time it was that Jesus was delivered. Lowercase, H-E, because it was speaking specifically in the context of Pilate. But here's the truth, folks. He delivered Jesus. The Father did. Over. And what's interesting about that is, he delivered him over so that we wouldn't have to pay for our own evil. So many times, and I don't know about you, but I know that I'm not alone in this. When something happens to me that I deem, you know, not right or a hardship or whatever, and I haven't had that many of them, folks, okay? But when they happen, I start thinking, okay, my first thought is, what did I do wrong? It's like God's allowing this in my life. He's coming against me somehow. I mean, I know this truth, and so you can take it to that degree, right? And then we can fall into condemnation about these things. And then I'm reminded of, folks, if we all got what we deserved, we'd all be 24/7. That's reality. Every one of us would be miserable and something would be falling us the whole time. That's reality. Now, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but Jesus was delivered, and God, think about this. Everything that you deserve, everything that I deserve for everything I've ever done and will do in the future, the same with you. And by the way, not just in this room, the whosoever wills. And that means that he had to deliver him over. Jesus said it. Don't you know that if I wanted to, I'm paraphrasing, I could have 10 legions of angels come and keep me from this time right now. He was just telling the truth. He went willingly. But the Father delivered him up. Oh, it was Pontius Pilate. He was just the government. He was, as far as I'm concerned, even though he had free will, it was a puppet. God put him there for such a time as that. He tried to let Jesus off. That just showed, right? He just said, he's an innocent man. What can you say about him? What? And then they said, crucify him, well, it's that time of the year. I'm going to let somebody out of jail. Now, who's it going to be? Well, you know, I'll give you this murderer, Barabbas. Or do you want Jesus, the one who never did anything wrong? Which one? You pick one. And Barabbas, we'll take the murderer. Wow. He tried to let Christ off the hook. God didn't allow it. Because Jesus was to be crucified. God sent him to die for us. And don't ever forget that it's not just your sins that he paid for. And you need to understand that your sins were paid for, because that's a very personal thing. And you are a sinner, and that's why you need a Savior, right? And then Jesus died for your sins. But guess what? He died for the most wicked people that we could ever imagine, that do the most horrendous acts that we could ever think of. He died for their sins too. The idea is, it's God who delivers. And he delivered up his son so that we wouldn't have to perish. And that needs to be our heart. Not just for your neighbor, not just for your family, not just for the body of Christ, but the most wicked person that you could ever imagine. The Apostle Paul was one of those. Always a good Jew, but he killed Christians. He murdered Christians. He's a murderer of the Christians. Now, he believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but look at a man who God's got a hold of, his heart. He got a hold of. He had an experience with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something. There have been other people besides the Apostle Paul. Because some make the argument, oh, yeah, but he followed the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he killed Christians. Anyway, the point is, when you see the light, it changes everything.
The book of 2 Kings reveals to us the history of God's chosen people, the Israelites. As Pastor Bill continues to walk us through this book, we find one truth standing out to us. God means what he says. Is God telling you something today? Maybe he's asking you to turn from sin and accept the free gift of salvation offered to you by Jesus. If you have questions about who Jesus is, or you'd like to know how you can have a personal relationship with him, we'd love to tell you more. You can find detailed information right on our website at anchoredintheword.com. Just hover over the link titled Pastor Bill and click on How to Know Jesus. We'd also be happy to talk personally with you about how Jesus can change your life. Just give us a call at 732-544-2225. That number again is 732-544-2225. We also encourage you to find a church home that will help guide you in your walk with Jesus. And if you're in the Eatontown, New Jersey area, we'd love to have you join us at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. Each week we gather together to worship our Savior and study his word. And we'd be honored to share that time with you. Head on over to our website at anchoredintheword.com and click on Calvary Chapel Coastlands to find directions and service times. Thank you for tuning in to Anchored in the Word and Pastor Bill's continuing study of the book of 2 Kings. We pray that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.